So as we continue with our journey through Matthew and the parables that Jesus is sharing with the disciples and the crowds, we are confronted with a question today of what is this kingdom of God? Louise, if you wouldn't mind switching. Typically, when we think about the kingdom of God or heaven or the kingdom of heaven, whatever we decide we want to call it, this is something that comes to mind. We picture these pearly gates, this beautiful life after death, and it truly is a wonderful thing to think about. However, when we look at our gospel reading for today, Jesus is painting a picture that is a little bit different than these pearly gates. Jesus is painting a picture of the kingdom of God that is very relevant to that time, very relevant to what is going on here on earth. And so for me, when I was thinking about what that is here on earth, I couldn't help but think about the Lord's Prayer and this Lord's Prayer that we as a congregation say on a weekly basis. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It's a call to action. It's a call that is very present in our daily life. So it's something that we need to implement in what we are doing. But what do we have to implement? For me, that required us to go back to the beginning of creation, the beginning of the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, where we see this beautiful relationship of God, creation, and humanity. It is there that we see this perfect relationship and what I believe God is calling for us to establish here on earth in the kingdom of God. So this perfect relationship and the kingdom of God are one and the same in what we should be striving for here. Jesus is talking to his audience. He's sharing these parables, and these are things that the audience is having a hard time understanding. Because Jesus is talking to a predominantly Jewish community. He's sharing these parables to a Jewish community that is very set in their ways. They're comfortable with the traditions that have been taught to them and passed down from generation to generation. And now Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like something very different than they have imagined before. It's probably making some of them a little uncomfortable. It's probably frustrating them a little bit. And Jesus has to remind them, back in chapter 5, that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so here, as he's sharing these parables, we have to remember that there's a balance in place, that we must embrace what is old while recognizing that there is joy in the new. Jesus is introducing these different things, and if you wouldn't mind moving to the next slide. One of the theologians that I read this past week suggested that this story about embracing the old and the new. He says, conservatism is based upon the idea that if we leave things alone, you will leave them as they are. You do not. If you leave a thing alone, you leave it to a torrent of changes. If you leave a white post alone, it will soon be a black post. If you particularly want it to be white, you must also always be painting it again. Briefly, if you want the old white post, you must have a new white post. So as we look at that in terms of the parable today, Jesus is suggesting that we need to have this balance. And that continues with our church today. The UCC denomination recommended this idea called Shift about 2 summers ago. And this is a nationwide thing. And the shift is that we as a denomination are moving from the maintenance of a church to the mission of a church. This idea that we are re-understanding what the gospel is talking about and focusing outside of the building, but more about the community as a whole. So when Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, he is painting a picture that's very different than what the Jews are comfortable with. And the examples that he is using with the mustard seed and the treasure and all of those things, we're not going to be focusing on the objects, but rather the process in which those things take place. So if you move to the next slide, we're going to focus on the mustard seed for a second. Traditionally, when we hear about the mustard seed, we think about if you have faith like a mustard seed, it will grow into something wonderful. But in their social context, That's not what they were thinking. The Jews would hear this, and they would be very confused, because for them, the mustard seed is a weed growing in their community. And so if Jesus is coming and saying that the kingdom of God is like a weed, they are extremely confused. But what Jesus is saying is that this small seed that is growing, the kingdom of God is coming in a way that's very different than what you could possibly imagine. In different parts of the Old Testament, we see that large kingdoms and empires are compared to large oak trees or mighty fortresses, big trees, but they eventually are cut down. And so it's ironic then that the kingdom of God is this small mustard seed. I couldn't help but think about small nonprofit organizations, and I think the India ministry is a great example of that. And as we talked about with the kids, it comes away, or the kingdom of God comes through in ways that we can't begin to imagine. It starts out small and then grows into something much larger. If you move to the next slide, where we look at the yeast. This is such a comforting thing to think about yeast and homemade bread. You just imagine the smell of making homemade bread. But again, for the Jewish community that is hearing this parable for the first time, they are not going to be excited that Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to yeast. Because if you remember, this is a predominantly Jewish community. So if they are practicing Passover, yeast is considered unclean. And so they have to hide the yeast from their communities, and they have to make sure it is out of their houses to be practicing and good Jewish communities. The other thing that I like about the parable of the yeast is that it's a woman who goes and she is making this bread. And for their community, just like ours and or in different places, women were seen as part of the oppressed category. And so we have yet another example of God saying that the kingdom of God is going to be coming about in a way that we couldn't even begin to imagine. But because the yeast was particularly seen as unclean in that community, it is a reminder to us today that there are things in our society that we may see as unclean or different or not agree with. Yet God is going to work through those situations, and God is going to work through those opportunities to bring about his kingdom. If you can move on to the next slide. These first two examples were about how the kingdom of God was going to come into place. Whereas these next couple of examples are how we as Christians or as humanity can respond to those kingdoms that are coming into place. The treasure, The treasure, the story that we have here is a man who is going through a field and he stumbles across this treasure. So I'm imagining he's going about his daily life, and maybe he's plowing in a field, and all of a sudden his plow runs over this treasure. It's very unexpected. He was not out looking for anything. He just happened to stumble across this treasure. And how does that affect us in our daily life, where we become so well adjusted to our way of life that we are content going to work every single day or driving from one place to the other, that it just becomes so routine that we don't even think about it. And then something random or drastic happens in our life where we uncover this beautiful treasure that God has presented, like this, to this man in the field. Then we have a completely different way of finding God, and that is through the pearl. This person is on a mission, and they are looking for this relationship with God. This example, he is a merchant who is buying and selling pearls, and he goes out and he finds the one that is the most beautiful pearl he could possibly imagine, and he sells everything he owns. So imagine finding this relationship with God and selling your house and your car and giving up everything you have to be in this relationship with God. So we have two different ways. We have the person who is just content with their daily life and stumbles across something wonderful, and we have the person who is drastically searching for that relationship with God. If you move to the next slide, we'll see one of my favorite examples for this week by Professor Saunders. He says, "So it is with the kingdom of heaven. Some people are on a quest. They are hungry for the meaning, and when the kingdom is found, they recognize its priceless pearly gleam immediately. And that is what we need to be doing. We need to be on that mission, looking for that beautiful pearl which is found in the kingdom of God. The next example that Jesus shares with us, or to the crowd and the disciples, is this idea of a net. That the fishers go out and they are tossing this net, and it is open to everyone and anyone. There is no exclusion. It's open to anybody that is interested in hearing the word. Which, how perfect is that for our congregation as we so widely open our doors and invite anybody in to hear the word of God? Can you go to the next slide? Saunders says, "When God is present among us, division is certain. Some will recognize God's presence, others may not at all. Some will conform to it, others will go back to the world, the gospel life, and proclamation generates decision and division. Does the church understand all this? Does it live faithfully on the cusp of what is old and what is new?" So the second half of that parable with the net is that God is going to separate the good from the bad fish. And when we think about judgment, I think it's clear that the good fish are the people that are searching to be in that relationship with God. They are striving to have that. Because as we've seen through previous weeks, God is not a judging or exclusive God. He desires to be in relationship with all of us. So when we ask the question, what is the kingdom of God? How might we depict that now? It's very different than the pearly gates when we think about bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. It's a call to action. It's a way of life. It's something that we as a community, as a congregation, are supposed to do together. You can move to the next slide. Some of you may have seen this. It's a bumper sticker that I have on my car, and it's from the UCC Church, and I think it's a great example of how we should be living our lives in response to bringing the kingdom of God here. We are called to be the church. Protect the environment, care for the poor, embrace diversity, reject racism, forgive often, love God, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, and enjoy this life. So as we go back, if you want to look back at your bulletin, at the last two verses that Jesus is, after he shares these parables with the congregation or with the audience, he says to them, "Therefore every teacher," or he says, "Have you understood all of these things?" "Yes," they reply. He said to them, "Therefore every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures as well as old." So we ask ourselves, do we understand these things? And the disciples respond with an eager yes, but I can imagine that in their minds they're thinking, we're going to say yes, but we don't really understand everything that Jesus is saying here because this is a lot to process. But that's what the relationship of God is called to be. It's a journey, as God was trying to bring that right relationship all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. That is what our faith is called to be today. It's a journey that we work on every single day to try and understand what Jesus is calling us to do and bringing about this relationship with God. So, what are we called to do? What the kingdom of God boils down to is this right relationship of bringing about justice, righteousness, and peace to creation and humanity. And one of my favorite verses that I always go to when I think about that is Micah 6:8. And it says, "He has told you, O mortal one, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God." So as we prepare to close, I want to look back to the Lord's Prayer. And before we say that together, I want to remind us that we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And the New Zealand prayer, I think, translates that quite beautifully. If you want to go to the next slide, we can read that together. It says, "The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth." So as we prepare to go back into our day and our week and our lives ahead, let us strive to get back into that relationship with God and strive for that right relationship with all of creation and all of humanity. Please pray with me.